Thank you to Matthew and to the choir for that beautiful piece, Benedictus, from Carl Jenkins, the armed man. So thank you again. Can we just pray for a moment? Father God, as we hear what it is that you have to say to us by the power of your Spirit, help all of us to open our hearts and our minds and our ears and everything that we have so that we can hear you speak powerfully to us today. So come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. In your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Good morning again, everyone. It's lovely to be able to have the opportunity to share from God's Word. And this morning, I want to ask you, and hopefully you will sympathize with me, but you know when you get asked to go to a wedding? And I don't want to say that the men don't struggle with this, because maybe you do, but you know when you get asked to go to a wedding and you think, oh no, what am I going to wear? Yes, well, we've all been there. Well, I was at a wedding recently with a friend, and I'm quite decisive. She's not. So she bought four dresses. she bought four dresses because she couldn't choose which one that she wanted to wear. So she brought these four dresses home. And her plan was to return the three that she didn't like. But anyway, the problem was she left it far too late and she missed the return date on the receipt. So she had to keep three dresses she didn't want. So if any of you are looking at a dress at all, I will get you her number and sure you'll be sorted for the wedding. But we've all done it, haven't we? We have bought stuff, not necessarily clothes, but we've bought stuff and we've had every intention to return it. But as life goes on and things get in the way, we just don't get round to it. And this morning, we are going to be thinking about this idea of returning, but not in the sense of returning our clothes to the shop, but rather returning our hearts to the Lord. And whilst there's no specific date given to return to the Lord, like on a receipt when you buy a product or whatever, in this morning's passage, we see this call to return to the Lord because actually the day of the Lord is near. And in Scripture, we find that the prophets have a lot to say about this idea of returning. In fact, it's one of their most popular words of instructions to the Israelites. And in fact, the word return in the Hebrew means to arrive again at the initial point of departure. You get that? To arrive again at the initial point of departure, which would suggest to us that at a time somebody or a people were originally with God, they moved away from God, and now they've got to go back to God. This morning we begin our very first sermon on our sermon series in Lent. And I've chosen specifically to do this sermon series over Lent because I want us each week to refocus our hearts and our minds on painful yet wonderful sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross for all of us. And we have to recognize every year that Lent comes around that as Christians, Lent is significantly important, isn't it? In fact, there is a guy called Kevin DeYoung, and he puts it this way. He says that Lent offers us the opportunity to search the depths of our sin and experience the height of God's love. So Lent is about looking at our sin and repenting, but actually at the same time experiencing the heights of God's love. And so with that in mind, each week we will be spending some time looking at these invitations that Jesus gives to us in his word to draw closer to him and to live lives that are fully and honestly dedicated to him. Now, just out of interest, who has actually given up something for Lent? Yeah, a couple of people. Yep. I haven't. But I'll ask you what yours are on the way out the door. But I know there are lots of people who have given up stuff for Lent. And that might be chocolate, it might be social media, it might be some sort of food. I don't know. Everybody has something. But actually, when we look a wee bit further at this text in Joel this morning, what we will actually see is that giving up something for Lent is actually not the main purpose of Lent. The main purpose of Lent is actually returning back to the Lord. Isn't that right? So never mind giving up your chocolate or your social media or certain food. I'm not giving up food, definitely not. But it's not about giving up something. It's about returning to the Lord with all of our heart. Now, that is a really interesting concept, isn't it? Return to the Lord. Because how and why do you return to the Lord? And also, why are these people in the book of Joel being called to return to the Lord? Well, just to kind of give you a landscape of what's happening in the context of the book of Joel. In chapter 1, basically, Israel are in a state of brokenness. The nation of Israel can't farm. They can't worship. They're struggling to eat. They are basically a broken people. And the reason why they're broken is because they're facing a crisis. And the crisis is a locust invasion that the Lord has sent as a judgment call for the Israelites to repent. Do you get it? You follow? And the reason why they were experiencing these locusts was because they had been disobedient to the Lord. They had strayed further and further away from him. And these locusts obviously aren't very pleasant, and they're causing damage. And in fact, they're destroying not only their crops, but their livelihood. And so it's into that bleak, dark reality, into that really difficult context that God sends Joel the prophet, who explains to them that, folks, this locust invasion is actually only a warning. And if we don't return to the Lord as he has called us to return, then something worse is going to happen. So this backdrop is what we're dealing with this morning. And that's what's happening in Israel. It's pretty dire. It's pretty bleak. And actually, I would imagine that they might be thinking to themselves, do you know what? We have gone too far. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? We've gone a step too far. They're thinking, it's too late to return. Forget about the invitation to return. It's too late. Well, here's the good news. Even though they're experiencing the judgment of God, there's still hope. And God reaches out to them one more time into the condition that they're facing to call them back to him. Because the reality is, the Lord says this, it's never too late. It's never too late. Even now, says the Lord, return to me. The Israelites may have been rebellious. They may have resisted the Lord. But the Lord gives them this beautiful invitation to return. And I believe the same is still true for us today. And so in Joel, we are given this outline of how we accept this invitation and how we return back to the Lord. And the first thing that we do is have a sense of urgency. So in order to return back to the Lord calls us to have a sense of urgency. Now, we all know tomorrow, people, don't we? You know, have you made that phone call yet? I'll do it tomorrow. Have you done the dishes yet? I'll do it tomorrow. Have you visited that person you said you were going to visit? I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You know, we don't want to live as tomorrow people. And I wonder, are you a tomorrow person? Like I said, the situation in the book of Joel there at that time for the nation of Israel is dire, but the Lord is calling them to have a sense of urgency about what is going on. It's not a time for messing about. It's not a time for drifting further away. It's a time to get serious and to get real and to return again to the Lord. You may already know this, but there's a story about a man named John Harper who was on board the Titanic the night that it sank. And he was on board with his young daughter, who was only 6 years old. And when he realized what was going on with the boat, he immediately ran and got his daughter, and he put her into a lifeboat, and he kissed her, and he told her that one day he would see her again. And then as the boat went upright and then started to sink, what was happening was people, you know, whatever, were jumping off the decks into the freezing cold water. And John Harper was one of those people. And when he had got into the water with over 1,500 other people who were probably in the water, Harper was swimming frantically around the people in the water, trying to lead them to the Lord before hypothermia set in and they would die. And Mr. Harper had swam up to this young man, and he asked him, "Are you saved?" And he replied, "No." And Reverend Harper asked him between breaths, "Do you want to be saved?" And the young man was in shock, and he said no. So Harper took off his life jacket and he handed it to him, and he said, "Well, you need this more than me." And off he swam to try and help some other people. And then reports say that a few moments later or whatever, he came back to that same young man and led him to Christ. And then on that night, of those who were rescued into lifeboats, the young man who was led to the Lord was in those boats. And about 4 years or so later, they had one of those survivors meeting, and that young man got up and tears were in his eyes as he recalled the night John Harper led him to the Lord. He also said Mr. Harper tried to swim back and with a sense of urgency try to lead other people to Christ, but he just grew weaker and weaker because of the coldness and the shock of the water. And his last words were apparently, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," which echoes those words from the book of Acts. And I share that story this morning with you because that was a servant of God who knew what it meant to be urgent. He did not waste any time. He was calling people to return to the Lord, to experience his presence. And we as Christians have to live with that same sense of urgency, returning back to him. And the Lord was calling the people of Israel at that time to take heed of what I'm saying. Take note and respond. Not next week, not tomorrow, but now. Coming back into the presence of the Lord should be a matter of urgency for all of us. And Joel's prophecy to return to the Lord was an urgent call as we read these words. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people." That's urgency. Do something. And Joel is trying to help them understand that something important needs to happen. And the message is this: yes, Israel, you have drifted. Yes, Israel, you have loved other things. Yes, you have gone too far. You've crossed the line. But it's not too late to stop doing what you're doing and turn back to the Lord. So don't delay. Have a sense of urgency. Don't be a tomorrow people, as the great St. Augustine put it this way: God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. The passage in Joel also invites us not only to have a sense of urgency, we are also to return back to the Lord through repentance, through an act of repentance. It says this, "Even now," and that "even now" is saying to those people, in spite of what you've done, we know how far you've drifted, but even now, return to the Lord with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate and abounding in love. What is repentance, though? You know, and what does it look like? Well, this morning, thankfully, in the book of Joel, it gives us some clues. The passage very simply tells us that if we want to return to the Lord, what we must do is rend our hearts. But what does that mean? Now, the root meaning of that word to rend is to rip or to tear or to like separate into parts. And each of us have our own way of expressing our emotions, don't we? And in ancient East, one of the primary ways that people expressed their grief or their sorrow or their sadness was like tearing their clothes, ripping their clothes as an outward expression of what was going on inside. To rend is to rip, to tear. But here's the interesting thing. God isn't interested in your ripping of clothes. He isn't interested external riches or rituals. He wants more than you to tear your clothes. Instead, he wants your hearts. And so his call to rend your hearts, if rend means to tear, then tear your hearts. In other words, die to your old ways, die to your reputation, die to your pride, die to everything that separates you from a fuller revelation of who God is, and come humbly before him in brokenness, confessing your sin. You know, God's call to repentance is not about rituals or religion. It's about a transformation which happens from within. And someone who understood that repentance was not about rituals was David. And David, as you know, committed adultery with Bathsheba. She became pregnant, and so he had her husband murdered. And the thing about David is that David was living in habitual sin over and over and over again. And then finally he was called out on it. And I don't know if you know this, but as a repentance, as a returning back to the Lord, he wrote a psalm of repentance, Psalm 51. And I found it really fascinating because look what he said. He said this to the Lord, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." Do you see what's going on here? God does not delight in our rituals. And the truth is, you know, some of us may be living in habitual sin. Or maybe, you know, we're coming to church and you're reading your Bible as a tick list, and maybe you're doing all the religious outward expressions. And you think, "I'm okay with God. I'm okay with God." But that's not how it works. The thing that pleases God most is our broken, torn hearts, not our rituals. God wants to be with those who are lowly and contrite in spirit and broken over their sin, as it says here, rather than those who live as though they have nothing in their life to change. None of us are without sin, and we're fooling ourselves if we think that is the case. But the thing about repentance is that it's not just about being sorry. And it's not about promising to be better. And it's not about just being remorseful. Biblical repentance is much deeper than that. True biblical repentance is, yes, when we confess our sins. But it's more about as well when we change the way that we think, which in turn leads to the way that we live, which needs to be different. It's a call to a complete transformation and a U-turn in life. God is in the business of restoring people, but he can only do that when we come to him in true, broken, contrite hearts, because God works beautifully in our brokenness. In the place of brokenness, true repentance can take place because the Spirit of God is able to move and change us. But to get to that place, we need to be willing and open, ready to surrender ourselves. And I think sometimes we actually find that really hard to do, because often we would rather keep those hidden parts of our lives separate from God. Or maybe we feel like God wouldn't be able to handle the deepest, darkest parts of our thoughts or what goes on in our hearts, and he knows already. If you do feel like that in any way, that the author, Philip Yancey, be of encouragement to you, he once wrote this. He once said that one bold message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. Throw at him your grief, your bitterness, your resentment, your betrayal, your disappointment, because he can absorb all of it. So maybe you're sat here today and you have stuff going on that nobody else knows about. Or maybe there's a barrier of sin between you and God. Or maybe you're just coasting along, doing the rituals, the outward expressions, but nothing inwardly is changing. But you recognize that something actually needs to change. Well, can I encourage you this morning, whether you've been a Christian a long time, a shorter time, maybe you haven't yet come to know the Lord for yourself, return to Him. Return to Him. Return to Him in repentance, not by tearing your clothes, but by tearing your hearts. And recognizing that where maybe you are now is not where you're supposed to be. To put it another way, C.S. Lewis says this: we all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. In that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. So stop wondering. Stop procrastinating. Return to Lord with a broken and contrite heart, for He will not despise. And the thing about returning to the Lord is that despite how far we've drifted away, we have a gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, great, great Father, who isn't trying to point a finger at us or trying to trip you up or catch you out, but is actually just welcoming you back into the fold, back into His presence. I'm sure you've all heard of or know well the song "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Well, I was thinking about that this week, and the particular words that struck me in that song was "prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And it reminded me of these Israelites in the nation of Israel who had just wandered away from Him, forgot about the first love of Jesus Christ. And the reality is, we are all prone to wander. All of us are prone to wander. Some of us stay close to God our whole lives, and that's incredible. And then there are others who drift away. But this morning, and especially in the season of Lent, as we reflect on that incredible journey that Jesus made on behalf of us, we don't want to wander anymore. We don't want to wander. And so our response this morning, I would love it to be these words also from that song: "Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above." This morning, me included, we all have things that we need to repent of in our lives in order that we can return to our gracious Father, knowing that there's actually freedom in releasing our sins and asking for forgiveness. And so this morning, I ask you again that question: are there things that you need to repent of? Things that you need to give to God that has kept you separate from Him? Maybe you've wandered, or maybe you just need a fresh outpouring of His Spirit. In response, I invite us to pray and be still for a moment as we confess to God those broken parts of our lives, the pain that we're carrying, the things that weigh us down. And as we go out into the rest of this week, let us start our week off right by repenting and returning to Him. So let's be still as we confess our brokenness and tear our hearts before the Lord. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Father God, We thank you for the invitation in this passage to return back to the Father. And we pray that we would no longer be wandering, but actually we would experience the fullness of God by returning back to the Father heart of Jesus Christ today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in and through us, that we would confess in brokenness those things that separate us from you. Things that we have given attention to. Things that have shifted our focus. Lord, this morning we come humbly before the throne of your grace, giving you our hearts in an act of obedience as we return to the Father. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray. In your name, amen.